Our next production is Trade-Offs in Growth, Persistence, and Quality of Summer Active and Summer Dormant Tall Fescues. The presenter is Chuck West from the University of Arkansas.
Thank you, and good morning. Wayne, I'm not as tall as you. There's increasing interest in tall fescue, especially a particular advance in the germplasm lately, and that is the use of summer dormant tall fescues. And this is of special interest to those of us who work in the southern and western part of the fescue belt, because we're looking for fescues that have good heat and drought tolerance, so that we can extend the use of a perennial grass. And so the objectives here today are to compare the seasonal yield trends of the summer dormant and summer active types, and to compare two methods of calculating a summer dormancy index, and also to quantify the spring changes in phenology of some populations, and to characterize forage quality of spring grown tall fescue. The reasons we are looking at this are that we have a concern about climate change, of course, and we feel that perhaps the summer dormant types may be more persistent or more tolerant of increasing drought stress or higher temperatures during summer. There's a need for persistent cool season grasses in the drought-prone transition zones between the humid to subhumid zones. And also that the Mediterranean origin perennial grasses offer possibilities with the summer dormant trait. And so the question is then, what are some trade-offs that we might find in between production and the quality of that forage? First, I want to give you a definition of summer dormancy as it relates to perennial cool season grasses. And that is the ability to survive summer stresses by ceasing growth and senescing vegetative tissues despite occasional summer rains. So this is what you see around the Mediterranean area. These two plots show the one on the top is a summer dormant type of tall fescue, and the one on the bottom is Kentucky 31, which is a summer active. And of course, that's the one that we mainly use here. Some of the cool season grasses, like some types of orchard grass or the poa species, exhibit what we call complete summer dormancy. But the tall fescues, for the most part, those that we call summer dormant, we do use that term somewhat loosely in that there is a gradient. There are incompletely dormant types. That is, we have not yet found a type of tall fescue which is completely dormant. And by completely dormant, I want to say that this is a grass that simply does not grow. That looks like the top of the picture. It turns brown even under irrigation. So that is what complete dormancy looks like. So we have the summer actives on the left side of the scale and the incompletely dormant types. And the two types that we are showing today are incompletely dormant. This particular photograph is not with irrigation, but this is at the early part of summer during the early stages of water deficit and where it's not been irrigated. So you see that the soil is dry here, but it's not really drought stressed yet. And that the summer dormant types have gone turning brown. Well, this is a very generalized map of the tall fescue zone, and showing this middle part here is the heart of the fescue belt, and these two triangles indicate two locations of this research. This was joint research between the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville and also with the Texas AgriLife at Vernon, Texas. And so you see that the Texas location is definitely outside of the fescue belt. But my co-author, Darius Malinowski, has been doing some very good work there with the summer dormant fescues and found that they do have a good role there. This dashed line is a very generalized line that indicates the zone where the endophyte in tall fescue becomes important. And so south of this line is where we generally say that that having endophytes in tall fescue are important for persistence. So persistence is a very important limiting factor in tall fescue in the southern part of the fescue belt. This shaded area indicates what we are hypothesizing to be a potential zone where the summer dormant fescues could increase the area of adaptation of tall fescue. And this is limited on the northern side by cold temperatures. The Mediterranean germplasms generally do not have as strong a cold tolerance as the summer active Kentucky 31 types. We're not really sure about this, by the way, where this area will extend, but we hope that through research we can more definitively define where the summer dormants have a place. These are the three populations that we looked at in this research. Kentucky 31, of course, the summer active type. Grasslands Fletcha, which is a cultivar put out from New Zealand, but it comes from a population which originated, I believe, in Argentina, or at least that's where the cultivar was first developed, and then it got further developed. And then the third one is a germplasm collection that Darius Malinowski made, and it's called, you know, TX in a long code name, and I'll just call it TX or the Texas line in this paper. The treatments were water supply. We had irrigated and a non-irrigated or a dryland treatment because it is under irrigation that we most correctly can assess the summer dormancy trait, and that is to avoid confounding with drought stress. Endophyte status, and I'll just back up and say that the purpose for the dryland part is to test the persistence. Endophyte status, we had an endophyte infected and endophyte free version of each of the populations. And for the Kentucky 31, that involved its native wild-type toxic endophyte. For Grasslands Fletcha, that was a New Zealand strain that was non-toxic. And for the Texas strain, that was also a wild type, but that was toxic. And the measurements of dry matter yield, spring growth stages, and forage quality are the only parts I'll be reporting. We had many other measurements, of course, of water relations that are not going to be talked about here. Now, I don't have the word endophyte in my title or the objectives, so I do want to say a few words about it here because this is a very important part of tall fescue, of course. In general, we had no endophyte effects. There was a slight effect here in red at Fayetteville, in that the E plus tended to have a higher survival than the E minus, but that was not significant over the 2 years. But for the most part, as you can see in that square, we had, with the dormant types, we had very, very good survival. Now, this is not the dormant type here, but we had essentially no endophyte effect in the drought stress with the dormant types, both at Arkansas and at Texas. This is the yield of the biomass, the forage production, in the second year. I'm just showing 1 year here to be brief. And this is at Fayetteville, which of course is a colder environment, and we had very low yields during the winter. But at the dormant types, those are the dashed lines, were statistically higher yielding than the summer active Kentucky 31, even during winter. Now, that's a pretty small amount of forage. As you go into spring, and these, as you can see by the dates that these cuttings were taken at the first of the month, or about the first of the month, we had a big peak in production of the summer dormant types over the summer active type during May especially April, I mean. And then during May and June, they flipped over. That is, that the summer active types became higher yielding. This reflects the earlier flowering of the summer dormant types. They would send up stems and seed heads much sooner than the summer active type. Notice then during summer, during June, that the summer dormant types dropped off very quickly and became low yielding throughout summer, They all recovered in the fall somewhat, but late in the fall, late in autumn, then we had a flip again. So going into winter time, the summer dermatypes were exhibiting higher growth. At Vernon, Texas, we had a somewhat similar pattern in that we had higher winter growth of the summer dermatypes and an earlier peak during spring, and then a drop off, a very quick drop off during the summer, and that the summer active types were higher yielding. Now, what happened differently there is that the summer dormant types recovered much more quickly and more significantly in the fall. We had a very good fall growth, but notice that the big drop in the summer active types during fall. Now, the reason for this is not because of poor recovery. It's because of diseases that we had for the irrigated ones. We had a very bad survival because of disease outbreak among the plants. And also for the non-irrigated, it was just simply drought stress. They just can't survive the very low rainfall there. Okay, now a word about the dormancy indices. An index of dormancy is a way to give a number to the propensity of the plant to exhibit summer dormancy so that we can compare cultivars or compare treatments. And this is an index that we came up with in Arkansas and Texas group, where we simply calculate a ratio of the summer yields, the sum of the June, July, August yield to the September, October, and November yield. So we have summer over fall, very simple index. So this then gives you a ratio of, let's say, 0.2, for example, would be a 20% of the fall yield. This is comparison then of an index put up by Mark Norton and Florence Valaire and others, who have been the leaders really in the cool season grass summer dormancy research. And this is a much more complicated equation for you to grasp, perhaps. But it's a summer yield of cultivar X. Let's say cultivar X divided by the summer yield of the maximum yielding cultivar. So this would be your summer active Czech cultivar. And for us, of course, that was Kentucky 31. Now, this ratio would be, let's say, a very summer dormant one would have a number of 0.2. And then one minus that 0.2 gives you 0.8. Times 10 gives you 8. And so this was designed so that a higher number is a higher degree of summer dormancy. All right, that's why it looks sort of contorted this way. This one is simply a low number is more summer dormant. Also, this one does not depend on knowing what the yield is of the maximum yielding cultivar, because we felt that the maximum yielding cultivar may change depending on the environment or the year. Okay, now, so the results of the dormancy index shows that using the ArcTex index, and this is the Fayetteville location only, that the Kentucky 31 had a higher number, and the two summer dormants, of course, were lower. And so we thought that would happen. And the Fletcher was intermediate between the two, and we found this to be true throughout the experiments. We also got the same ranking using the dry land, but the irrigated data really are the most reliable for assessing dormancy. Now, using the Norton index, we found that the lowest number is with the Kentucky 31, and it gets higher and higher. And this is expected, of course. Now, at Vernon, Texas, we saw the same thing with the ArcTex index, as the highest number was a summer active and the lowest one was the Texas line. But the Norton one changed here because we had such high mortality of the Kentucky 31 plants that they were not always the highest yielding cultivar then. So that became a real problem. Okay, the growth stage. This is using the Sanderson growth stage system. During May, And this May 1 sampling reflects April growth. Okay, so it's taken on May 1, and that the Kentucky 31 was less advanced in maturity than the two summer dormant types. And in June, it was just the opposite, because it's a later flowering cultivar, and then the others were more vegetative. And then in 2009, we had a similar deal. Crude protein was the same, was not affected by the cultivar or by the growth stage here. And so for, for June, where we had a less mature plant that had a higher crude protein content, because at this point, those plants were largely vegetative. And we did not see such differences during the second year here in the June one. NDF, the earlier flowering of the summer dormant types did give a higher NDF concentration than the Kentucky 31, but there's no difference during June. Now remember, this was very vegetative, much more vegetative, and it still had a higher NDF. It had an NDF just like the more mature Kentucky 31. And so this indicates that the leaf quality is not as high as Kentucky 31. And we had a similar result in 2009. ADF was similar for the early part. That is, the summer dormants had a higher ADF, again reflecting more stem production, more advanced flowering. But in June, we did have a lower ADF, this time reflecting the more leafy growth, and no difference the second year. At Texas, we don't have growth stage data there, but we do have the forage quality for the crude protein, and it was similar to the Arkansas for the first year. And then the NDF, I'll just go with that because I think I'm getting a bit low on time. So in summary, then the summer dormancy types had higher survival than Kentucky 31. The Kentucky 31 stand loss was severe at Vernon, Texas, because of drought in the case of the non-irrigated, or because of disease in the case of the irrigated one. Spring growth peak and summer decline of the summer dormancy types occurred earlier than with Kentucky 31, and the summer dormancy types did show more winter growth. Now it turns out that for Arkansas, that is for North Arkansas, that winter growth was still very, very small, not enough to carry much of a beef herd during that time. At Vernon, Texas, though, the summer dormancy showed a much greater superiority of growth during the cooler season, during that autumn and winter period. The Architects Index, that is the dormancy index, was more consistent in ranking populations across irrigations and across locations, whereas the Norton Index ranking varied at Vernon with irrigation treatment and also with endophyte, which I did not show the data of. So we think that our index is easier to use and lends itself better to statistical analysis, partly because of not forcing the maximum yield cultivar to zero. So that is one effect of the Mark Norton index, is that by definition, the highest yielding cultivar is zero. And also, they do calculate their index on the basis of the mean of the reps, whereas ours is on individual reps, and so we can do statistical analysis better. In summary, then also, the dormant types flowered and went vegetative earlier in the spring than Kentucky 31, and this is very consistent across locations in the years. And so, in fact, it's because of that we looked at forage quality. The crude protein tend to be higher in the summer dormant types than the Kentucky 31 in the June regrowth, at least for the first year. Again, reflecting its more vegetative state. NDF and ADF composition was greater in the summer dormant than the Kentucky 31 in May cutting in the Fayetteville location, but there's no difference, or it was greater in June. Now that is that there was no difference in NDF between the summer dormant and the summer active. But the summer active did have higher ADF in June than the summer dormant types. So what are the trade-offs? The benefits of the summer dormancy trait in tall fescue are the very high drought tolerance. You saw those 99-100% survival rates, even at Vernon, Texas. Very, very high drought tolerance for that semi-arid environment. And this is true even without endophyte, which is quite remarkable. So this greatly could simplify the technology of producing cultivars, and that it becomes less important to maintain endophyte. Now, I must say, though, that some of Dario's work at Vernon has shown some endophyte effects. So the emphasis there is still to have an endophyte in the plant that is non-toxic, so that you have the extra insurance about the drought tolerance. There was a substantially greater fall and winter growth in Texas with the summer dormant types, and of course that's because they have a mild winter, whereas too cold in Arkansas to get that advantage. So big advantages for the drought tolerance and for the winter growth. But the drawbacks are that the early spring flowering, the very, very early spring flowering, and the decline in forage quality. Now, we do not have real strong, consistent data about the decline in forage quality about that. That is more ultimately determined by a grazing trial. But there's also very little post-flowering growth in the summer dormant types in late May and June. And so once that plant flowers, and you cut off those flower heads and those seed heads, that plant substantially stops growing or will slow down a lot. Now notice that the Fletcher was intermediate between the TX and the Kentucky 31. And the Fletcher did stay green during summertime, but it had very, very low growth.
John, we need to move on.
Oh, is it that late? Okay, just one comment here that the proceedings of a workshop on summer dormancy have just come out in this latest issue of Crop Science. Okay. All right.
Very good. Thank you.